I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Carino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Long time since you rock and rolled. It's not for us.
Oh, hell no.
I will tell you that.
I just had a flashback to a vintage Cadillac commercial.
Yeah. You have tuned in to the rock and roll capital of the automotive world, Motormouth Radio, on WHPC with your hosts, Ray Guarino, the man at the con, right, Joe D, who's rocking and rolling over there, and we are going to provide you with some great automotive topicality and stuff today.
And we'll talk about a lot of stuff, too.
We're back. We were at the beach last week. We're at Toe Bay. And a big shout-out, of course, to our good friend and confidant, Chris, DJ Dr. Scholes, who ran the board for us last week. And we had a great time. You can go to go up to motormouthradio.com if you want to hear those shows. They're up there for you to take as a podcast and listen to. You can also follow us with the same address on Twitter and Facebook. And you can get us on Instagram at Joe's favorite.
Real_MotormouthRadio.
Right. And that's you'll find all the things we do during the week when we're not here. The things we break, bend, ignite.
Burn.
Yeah. You name it. We do it. Bzzz. Yeah. Bzzz. All those funny noises that come out of things.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to have a great guest today. We're going to have Mr. Dave Hayes from, not Willie Mays Hayes, Dave Hayes from Hot Rod Innovations. And their site, if you want to check them out in the interim, is hotrodinnovations.cool. Right, which is kind of cool.
I like that.
Right? So we had Dave on the Plane and Traffic show on Thursday night, and now...
I'm glad you clarified that, because I tried dot crap and it didn't work.
Yeah, I know. Right. So, we'll have Dave on in a little while. We'll get him in the second segment. We'll talk stuff. We'll talk, because he's got some big SEMA announcements, which he can't make today because it's still a secret, but he'll tease it and we'll talk all about that cool stuff. But,
oh, yeah. Let's hear it for teasing. Yeah.
But we were at the beach for 2 hours last week doing a live remote, and it's always a little, take me out of my element and I feel a little, I'm always a little.
It's a little weird. Yeah.
Off.
Because, you know, we walk in here every week. And, you know, we say hi to Kim, we sit down, we have our pre-show strategy meeting.
Yep.
And I'm not used to having, like, seagulls buzz me.
Or people walking by with food and ice cream. And
yeah, I know.
We're definitely creatures of habit, and I know I am.
And all them motors, island.
Oh, yeah, we had all the, it was cool, because if you listen to the replays, you'll hear it in the background. You think it was our stomachs, but all the bikes parked behind us, all the Harleys and stuff.
Oh,
were
yeah.
Right. So all you heard was, bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum. I thought I'd put a quarter in my chair.
Yeah, potato, 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 potato. So that was, we had a little sound effect.
My back felt a lot better. For
right. We had a backing track, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You
Bad music.
Yeah, you can go up to on Spreaker, or you can go to motormouthradio.com and
yeah,
you can hear those
shows.
Yeah,
we're on the site too, yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, you can find us wherever, because there's a lot of evidence.
Performance Motorsports Network also
is
replaying our shows, so you can check it out there. So it was cool, and then we got back to work during the week and did our respective stuff, and What happened with you, Joe? What was on the
table?
Well,
this week there's a lot of the day job stuff to do because I was trying to play catch up. It was a big volume. So the after work stuff, the second job, you know, when I come out at night and fight automotive crime, I had to back take a back seat for a little bit there. But
yeah,
it was a couple of inspections, quick diagnosis, that kind of stuff. Nothing particularly head scratching at this point.
Right.
But, then again, I have an evap issue waiting for me at the UD.
Right, right.
And talk about a little head scratching on your end over there.
I know. You know, it was kind of a quiet week for me, too, automotively, until yesterday. And I took my Fiat, the old trusty Motormouth Radio land barge.
Powered creeper.
Yeah, powered creeper. That's even better. It had sat at home for a couple of days. I left it home. It was just sitting, you know, in the driveway on a battery tender, happily just sitting there. I used the other car, and I decided yesterday, you know what, let me take it out. I'll take it to work. And got in the car in the morning and noticed something. You know, you never notice when you notice something, but you say, you know you noted it because you noted it. But right. You don't let yourself know
that didn't just happen, no.
Because when I took the car off the battery charger, the battery tender, and put the key in the ignition, and I saw the red battery light glowing on the dash. I was like, okay. And the other thing I noticed was my fuel gauge.
Isn't it?
Yeah, the fuel gauge was reading like half full. And the thing is, the dash gauges don't read until the key is turned on in that car.
Yeah, which is pretty normal, even for a Fiat.
So I noted two things were wrong. Yet, the car started. Everything kept powered up. That red light went out. I said, okay, that's good. And I drove to work. Everything was fine. Until I went to shut the car off at the diner to get my breakfast, and I turned the key all the way off, and the car continued to run. And that red light was back on again. And I said, what the heck is going on? So took the key out and said, tried it again. No, that wasn't it. And basically went, I said, I got to shut this car off. I had to go to work. So pulled the battery cable, and that, the car continued to run. I said, well, the alternator is working. So I had to go open the hood and pop the coil wire off and make the car stop.
Yeah, at that point, just shut it down.
And get zapped, like Johnny said. You get zapped, and with a smile, I said, yeah. But it's not a DIS system, so it wasn't really...
It didn't travel that many feet. You know.
I didn't need the first cup of coffee after that. You know, it was like, still had the second and third. But then, you know... Didn't have time. I actually, before I went to work, I said, you know what? When the car was, I started it again. It said, I'm thinking the ignition switch. Maybe something's wrong with the ignition
switch.
Logical,
sure.
So I got under the dash and disconnected the switch, and the car continued to run. And I said, okay, this is going to take more diagnostics I need some diagrams and whatever. So went into work, contacted you, let you know what was going on. And we both head scratched together, downloaded some stuff from the internet. Because all my diagrams and diagnostic stuff was home, of course.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
Went to the shop.
You haven't memorized that car yet.
Pieces of it, yeah. But, went to the shop after the first job and had to do a little bit of work there. And then said, okay, yeah, let me look at the Fiat again. And I wanted to see if I disconnected the alternator wires from the alternator, if the car would stop, meaning that the regulator, something from the alternator, was backfeeding.
Right.
And when I did that, the car continued to run. So I said, okay. And then I was talking to Mike, and we had to go deliver a car in Queens. And I said, okay, let's leave this here. Let's go drop the car off. And then the story got better because then we went to the UD to hang out with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, we're in Queens. You want to come by? Can we come by? Sure. Come on.
Right.
Bring it on. Next thing you know, they're rolling up at the door. A few minutes later, we let them in. And... hilarity ensues.
And forgot course. All about the problems, and life was good, and we had fun, and we drank beer and picked up drive shifts and had all sorts of fun.
Right.
And it's always great. You know, through the summer, I wanted to get up there. You know, I wanted to get up there on a Saturday or something. But, you know, I know a lot of times you guys are busy working, you're doing stuff, so it's just not conducive to...
particularly on Saturdays.
Yeah. So I kind of backed off. I wasn't going to push it. But it was good. I wanted to get back, and I do again. I just like hanging out there. It's, you know, the guys are great.
It's a combination. You get to work on your car. You get to socialize.
Right.
You know, and you get to make sure your car is inside and safe. And
right.
It's a win-win-win situation.
Absolutely.
You know?
So, then when we got back, you know, when Mike and I left, we had to make a stop. Got back to the shop. It was dark. So I put the battery cable back on, started the car, drove home, parked it, and haven't looked at it again until this morning when I had to put the battery cable back on and started again and and came here. So we were spitballing it before the show, and we got a couple of areas.
Who's I?
Yeah, there's a couple of areas we're going to look at. So, again, it's like we talked about from the beach when I talked about diagnosing and fixing my washing machine at home.
Right.
It's the same thing. You have to find a diagnostic pattern and a diagnostic path that makes sense or makes some kind of sense. So at least you can know, like, if that sense doesn't work, you know, then you...
I'm a big fan of Mo.
Yeah.
Because eeny, meeny, miny just never works, so I go right for Mo and...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the way of doing things. An engineer ran that past me on a Craigslist retrieval once, and I said, you know, by experience, I found that it was always Mo.
Yeah.
And he looks at me like, huh?
Yeah.
Well, eeny, meeny, miny, you know, but then again, that's where I probed the why. Was it Mo, so...
And, you know, on a oddball side note to that, something Vic had told us a few weeks ago when he called, and I've been telling people this.
Manny Mo and Jack?
I think it was Manny somebody and Mo. I thought Mo was the third one.
Okay. Right.
Pep Boys, as we heard, is rumored to have been bought out by O'Reilly's. So I've told that to a few people lately, and they were like, oh, really? That's great. I'm like, yeah, I think so, too, because O'Reilly's is like a real, it's like a Napa. It's like, now I'll go there if I need something besides, like, wax or an air freshener, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't really go there. Actually, we do go to the one in Freeport or Baldwin because they have the shop has a commercial account there.
And, oh, do they?
And there is a guy at the commercial desk who... knows a lot more about auto parts than the rest of them.
Yes.
You know?
I've noticed that a lot of the larger retailers, you know, they now have a commercial desk.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to bring in business from the shops because, well, it's kind of a win-win situation because, first of all, a lot of the, I don't want to say real, that's kind of insulting, but the traditional parts houses are pretty few and far between these days.
That's true.
So, I mean, you got to go someplace to see that. You got to go to, like, the next state to pick stuff up or mail order. Mail ordering that says spark plugs. I mean, come on.
You know, I did. I got them from Rock. You know, I got iridium spark plugs for my car for, I think, at the parts store. Last time I bought them at my local parts store, who I like to use.
Right.
My cost was, I think, $4 or $5 a plug.
Right.
So, like, you know, over the counter, it was like 8 or 10 or 12 or something like that. So, but still, it was expensive for spark plugs. So the next time I get a, you know, you register your cars with Rock, and they'll send you emails when they have clearances.
Yeah, when they have cool stuff that's on sale. I find that to be very useful.
And I got iridiums for like $2 a piece. I was like, send
them.
Isn't
that great?
Send them.
Sure.
So, and I went through this last week with you. I needed to get struts for my car and shocks for my daughter's RAV4. And Rock had a deal where if you buy the top line, the KYB stuff, you get a rebate. I'm thinking, okay, so do I want to spend more on the better parts to get a rebate that may still have me spending more than if I go to a local place and buy? And that was a conundrum I was in. I ended up going to Rock, KYB struts, loaded, fully loaded struts. So this is like a remove and replace deal.
Yeah.
And I got the KYB, the G-Series shocks for her RAV, same ones I put in my car. I ordered them. What day was that? That was like Thursday?
Really?
Was it? No, when we were talking, was that like Thursday?
It was like Thursday, yeah.
They came yesterday.
No.
At the door.
Damn.
Done.
Damn.
It's like, you know what? I couldn't have walked to the store and brought him back in that time. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I know. So. They're amazing sometimes. It depends on what warehouse they come out of.
Right.
So. Oh, by the way, you have to pronounce it. Rock.
Rock.
Yeah. No, when we yell stuff back and forth at each other, it's rock.
Okay.
So you can't just say rock because then you think of a small piece of the earth there.
Duly noted. Well, you know what? With that, we will take our first break, and we're going to be back probably with Dave. But you know what? In keeping with the fashion, how about... Rock!
Rock!
Me baby on 90.3 WHPC. Get the guitar tuned up.
Are you ready to vote this election day, Tuesday, November 5th? You can vote for the important races, like who will lead the Nassau County Legislature, Town of Hempstead Supervisor, and for your favorite radio station.
That's not a real thing you can vote for.
It is now. This election day, you can choose to vote for 90.3 WHPC at our official polling place, California Pizza Kitchen, 1256 Old Country Road in Westbury. On Tuesday, November 5th, California Pizza Kitchen will donate a portion of the proceeds to our nonprofit, non-commercial, educational radio station. Just inform your server before you order that you are there to support the voice of Nassau Community College. That's Tuesday, November 5th at California Pizza Kitchen in Westbury. Thanks for supporting all of us at 90.3 WHPC.
We got a male age 20, possible overdose.
Led Zeppelin? The Kinks? Van Halen? What is this? Who did this?
That's exactly correct, Sergeant Johnson. Who did this? This wasn't any ordinary overdose. This was a rock overdose.
It's Rock Overdose, Mondays through Thursdays at 2 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, you know, here we go again. I just want to sit and listen to this song for the rest of the show because
rock
me, baby. But anyway, we are back, Motor Mouth Radio, and we're going to be on the phone with Dave in a second, and we will continue on with that. But yeah, we're easily diverted here. You know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, I forget stuff.
Little bit of good music is all it takes.
Sorry about that, Bob.
And we are off and running. So let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Dave, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Dave?
Excellent. Everybody, you are now on. You're listening to Mr. Dave Hayes from Hot Rod Innovations. Dave, it's a pleasure to have you back. It's been, you know, we had you on Plane in Traffic just the other night, which was, we realized was a year to the day since you were on last. And then you did follow up with us after that. So again, we're like a year to the day out with that. So tell
us.
That's
awesome.
Introduce yourself to the audience. Let everybody know who you are and what you do.
My name's Dave Hayes. I own a little company here called Hot Rod Innovations. We manufacture a line of hot rod parts. Our biggest seller right now would be we manufacture a throttle return spring kit that, unlike everything else on the market, which uses a spring, you know, that you're basically stretching on, ours mounts a spring on a little baby billet aluminum coilover shock, basically, and uses the spring in compression. So when you hit the gas, it's actually compressing that. And by putting it in compression, it allowed us to make it adjustable. So if you picture, you know, the coilover shock on your suspension, same exact theory. So we can crank some preload into it, change the way the throttle pedal feels, without having to, you know, there's no more back and forth to the auto parts store, the hardware store. We're not overstretching a spring and putting a hook back in it. And then from a safety standpoint, all the springs that are in the, you know, let's call it the stretch position, if they break, they're no longer connected. The thing goes wide open. Houston, we have a problem. Right. With our system, with the spring being in compression and then captured on the shock, even if the spring broke, even if you walked up and cut the spring, it can't fall off. It becomes two shorter springs and it'll overlap into itself and become a bit softer. But because it's being compressed and they got a shock running through the middle, it can't fall off. Right. So from a safety standpoint, even if the spring failed, the throttle would still return, which is a pretty huge thing. And then it takes care of your cable management, throttle cable, kickdown cable, all that stuff. And yeah, it's all billet aluminum. Everything's machined here. We're big on Made in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be back at SEMA this year. We're debuting a new line of sheet metal tools. And we're debuting something for the C10 guys, specifically 67 through 72, at least with this go-around.
Yeah.
And I'm a little tight-lipped, but it's going to be big.
Very, yeah. That's what you have to do. You have to wait till the end, then you tease it. And I don't know if you got to check social media, but this morning I did make a post to Twitter and Instagram and in our Facebook
that.
Page.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to do, because I wanted to show the spring that I have on my own car that works great from you guys. And,
oh, yeah,
and
that's right. You got one in there.
I figured, let me put the picture in that showed the way I had it before with the dual return springs. And, Joe, this is a question I have for you, being a GM guy, a GM tech.
Right.
We were talking to Dave on Thursday night, and I mentioned that back in the day, in the 70s, GM used tooth springs, one inside the other.
Yeah, and that's redundancy, yeah.
Now, that's what I had on the car. Now, the outer one was a lot softer than the inner one.
Right.
And the question was, like, why would GM do that? And because
primarily for redundancy.
Okay.
You know, and probably a little bit of a, you know, it's probably more for a gradual feeling, too, because, you know, you want that first little bit of pedal to be easy, so that way you could light the tires. Easy.
I kind of figured it was for, like, they kind of tuned it like that, but I wasn't sure, and I figured, you know, you would probably know.
Yeah, seen enough of them. Yeah, I finally figured out what Mr. Gerwich was thinking there.
Yeah. All right. But Dave solved all of that because, like we spoke, a spring in compression and tension are two vastly different things. And Dave, what was the impetus? How did you come up with that whole idea for that design, Dave?
So I'm doing a car, a little track roadster. We're going to compete for America's most beautiful roadster with this car. Mm. And we got to that spot, you know, all right, we got to do something for, you know, it sounds dumb, but you start doing, all right, we need throttle cable stuff. We need, you know, return spring. And I'm like, we're not just going to hook a spring onto this thing. I mean, everything on this car is one-off. Everything is hand-machined. I mean, there's so much work in this car, it's ridiculous. And I just started looking, and I'm like, we got to do something different. And I actually started playing with trying to do some collars on the actual throttle cable, like on the wire of the cable, like a low-car cable, and using that in compression and started, you know, but then I couldn't keep the spring from kind of, I couldn't keep the spring in line, basically.
Right.
And so it just sort of morphed into, well, I need like a carrier for the spring, you know, like a tube that slides inside of a tube, you know, so I can keep the spring completely in line with itself. And that just sort of turned into, well, how about if we did it like on a little shock and then we could make it adjustable and then you could change the way the pedal feels. And it just sort of, you know, it's one of those things sitting in the shop working on a project and just kind of, I don't know. It's just one of those moments, and it's turned into something. We're talking with Summit Racing right now, and it looks like right after the first of the year, this stuff will be in the Summit catalog, along with our slide away steering kit. And I have a very strong suspicion after we debut this new line of parts at SEMA this year that you're going to be able to find that in the Summit catalog, as well as, you know, hopefully Brothers Trucks or, you know, something along that line, since it's a very C10 specific item.
Yeah, that's great. You dropped that on us on Thursday night on Plane in Traffic, which is fantastic. It's, you know, the Summit deal, I know for a company, that's great news. I mean, because that means you guys have kind of made it. When you get their attention, that's great. We congratulate you on that because, yeah, we hope that means you can quit your day job.
Well, fingers crossed, you know, it's just in the last year, it's been really a heck of a ride. It's been a lot of work, but I'll tell you what, it's been so rewarding. And, you know, as the weeks and months click off and the customer base continues to grow, we've got parts, in the lower 48, Hawaii, Canada, Brazil, Australia, and New Zealand at this point.
Nice.
And as the customer base has grown and you get to sort of talk to these guys and everybody's been real happy, it's a pretty satisfying feeling. Yeah. And, you know, it's, I mean, I'm just a hot rodder. I mean, that's my background is literally hot rodding, racing. I did about 10 years driving a sprint car and, you know, I grew up with this stuff, and I've never been on this side of the table. I've always been the guy buying the parts, not making the parts.
Right.
And, but it's been a heck of a ride, and, you know, getting to meet folks like you guys and doing, you know, playing in traffic. And I mean, it's been just the most wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Well, and
well, that's it from our end. We're always looking for people who are, you know, new in the industry, certainly, but they don't have to be. We have plenty of people who are, you know, the old dogs, and we just want to get that information out and spread it to the listeners. So
I think it's
really, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we love having it, especially like the smaller companies. That's where my heart is at, you know, the grassroots stuff.
Sure.
Now, I had a question. I didn't want to interrupt you. Now I don't remember what it was. So I'll have to. Well, you know, we talked about that on Thursday. Like everything's you forget, and like, oh yeah, I'll get to it in a few minutes. It'll come back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, I got to be honest. It's nice to know you know that I'm not the only one, right?
No.
I mean, I walk around thinking, where did I put my pencil? You know, I'm trying to write something down. It's behind my ear.
Yep.
So.
Or my glasses. Oh yeah, that's right here. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we all do that. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. With social media, I know that's it's such a driving force. And we have a social media director, we'll call him that, who's was harping on me for years about it. And goes, you don't get it. You don't want to get it. I was like, no, I do. I just don't. I know. Old dog, new tricks, you know, blah, blah, blah. But case in point, I put up a picture a number of, it was months ago. One of the things that I got involved in, I've always been a carburetor rebuilder. I've always been a rebuilder of different things. And I still do carbs. And some guy started following. He liked it, and he's like from Carb Docs, but he's from like Brazil or Rio de Janeiro, something like that.
Wow!
I was like, how the hell did this guy find? And like, he was like, see, that's how it works.
The whole planet knows you.
And now I just put up another post for a carburetor I just did for a Ford, and bang, this guy's right back again. He likes it. He's always there with his carburetor stuff. So you don't know who's watching you. You know.
I know it's great. You know, and I never had any social media personally. At all. I guess I'm one of the rare people. I'm super blessed. All of my friends and all of my family are pretty much within shouting distance.
Yeah.
So, though I've always understood, you know, how great it is when you get friends and family that are spread out all over and being able to keep in touch, I had no use for it. Mm-hmm. And when we started the business, obviously it becomes what I thought at the time, a necessary evil. It's great. I mean, we're able to reach people, you know, like you said, all over the world. It's just amazing. Yeah. I mean, these are people that clearly would never know I existed.
Right.
It's exposure.
And it's turned into something cool, you know?
Yeah. People can get to see what you're up to. And
absolutely.
A lot more than the guys in the neighborhood, too, you know?
Yeah, instead of hanging a sign in the speed shop window now goes across the whole world, and everybody can see it.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. No, it's great opportunity.
Like it is.
I mean, the big guys, but especially for small businesses, which, you know, we're big fans of. Now you can sell on a global market. And I mean, you may be ramping up production like crazy, which is a good thing.
Yeah, we've had to ramp up quite a bit. And then, you know, when the summit thing happens after the first of the year, that's going to be, that's going to be game changing for us, which is, I mean, it's awesome. It's terrifying. I mean, there's a whole bunch of emotions involved, you know, involved with that. It's crazy. Yeah. So
what's,
you know, and to think to be a person who's bought parts from, you know, guys like that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, we're going to reverse the role a little bit. That's kind of a crazy idea, you know?
Sure. What are the, can you give us an insight into what type of sheet metal tools you're coming out with? Is it stuff that guys like us can use at home or in a small shop, or is it geared to a bigger entity?
No, this is an at-home deal. So it's actually something that I sort of made for myself, again, with this little roadster. And when we got to knocking the hole in the center of the hood lid, and then it's a little track roadster, right? So it's got a little aluminum hood on it that I did. And it's got an oval air cleaner that just barely sticks out. And the headers come out the side, right? Like a sprint car style looking thing. So we got the holes knocked into the thing. And you can't just leave it at that. You know, you need to sort of roll a lip right there.
Yes.
So we made this little hand tool. And it comes in a couple. It's hard to explain. It comes in a couple different radiuses. And the bottom, it's got a bottom tooth that's adjustable, so you can adjust how far the thing slips over your, like, the edge of the sheet metal, I guess. It's hard to explain in words.
I'm picturing it.
Sort of like a can opener.
Yeah.
You sort of just kind of, and you just slowly work around and around and around.
Gives
and
it a nice roll. Finished look.
Yes. And it's one of those things that's so simple. It's obviously, it's all billet aluminum. It's all, you know, machined and bull nosed, and they'll be anodized. Two different radiuses, a half inch and a 1 inch to start with. And then, like I said, the depth is adjustable. It's such a simple thing. It's about 8 inches long. You just throw it in the toolbox drawer, and it's, you know, you don't have to buy the bead roller and the rollover dies. Whether you're doing an inside hole, which the bead roller and rollover dies won't help you with anyway. because I own a bead roller and rollover dies, and I couldn't figure out how the heck am I going to do this inside hole. So we made this little, you know, fancy can opener, for lack of a better term. And it works so slick. It's unbelievable. And you can do outside edges as well. So if a guy's going to do a gas tank or a you know, oddly shaped like catch can for the radiator for a street rod, it doesn't, you know, and you're going to do it out of aluminum, it doesn't have to just be a square edged box.
Right.
We can radius all the corners. If you're doing some interior sheet metal, you know, we've all seen the dimple dies, right? So for poking a hole in something and it kind of, you know, the two things squeeze together and it puts that rolled edge. Picture like an aluminum racing seat with all the holes poked in it and it's all dimple dyed. That's great if you're doing round, but you can do anything with a, like, let's say a half inch radiused corner. So it can be a square as long as the corners are slightly radiused so you can, you don't work yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
You can just work right around and do any shape you want.
As you're talking, I'm saying, you know, you got to put me on the list for one of these tools, because
that would definitely come in handy.
Last week at the show, there was a fellow looking at my car. I had it there, and he says, and I have two chalked outlines on my inner fenders that are oval shaped. And he says, well, what was it? You know, I said, I was going to do a venting scheme.
Right.
And what I didn't cut the holes. I said, I was going to use a dimple die and make, of course, I have to make a series of holes. Because it's single holes. I said, because they don't make an oval dimple die, you know. And I said, and the reason I didn't do it is I could buy the die that I need, but then they sell them as a set. And you usually get a better deal if you buy the set, but I need five of them. So I didn't do anything.
Right.
And now you just gave me the answer I needed. You really did. So we got to be in touch about that, and I'll be one of your customers on that tool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I would be more than happy just to send you one. You can use it. And you know what? If you like how it is, you know, you're set. Just give it a shout out.
Absolutely.
So
oh yeah.
That would be awesome. So
excellent.
Yeah, that's one of the things. And we're gonna have a little station set up in the. These products will be in the new product showcase at SEMA, as well as the C10 stuff. And then in the booth, obviously, we will have a. We're gonna call it a working model, working full deal of the C10 parts. So there's a tiny clue that there's some movement to them.
Oh, cool.
And then the aluminum forming tools, we have a whole station that'll all be set up, and I'm bringing a bunch of blanks that'll be all stamped out with some shapes in them, mounted to this podium, for lack of a better term. And you'll be able to come into the booth and actually try out the tool and see just how easy it is, and kind of, you know, do the why didn't I think of this thing, because it's truly that simple, and it's, man, it does such a great job. It's incredible.
Excellent. No,
so
that's
the best ideas are like the why didn't I think of this before?
And they're always
they're
always born from guys in shops doing something for themselves and, you know, scratching their heads and thinking about what to do. And then, you know, Dave took it a step further and actually made the thing that I was thinking about, like, how do you make an oval hole with a beveled edge? Like, there you go. Beautiful.
There you go.
I love that. That's excellent.
Very cool. All
right. Well, Dave, we thank you for spending some time with us today. It's been a great great time. You know, people can also go to Playing in Traffic. They can find a replay of that show on Thursday night, and they couldn't see you as we spoke. You can see me, too, as a matter of fact, as scary as that may be. And I recommend people do that, because we kind of rambled on. We went into some other topics. I think we covered everything we covered here, and then some. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Playing in Traffic is always a good show. That's always a good time. So, and I appreciate you guys having me on again. HotRodInnovations.cool.
Right.
Which is kind of a unique website there. And if anybody is going to be at SEMA this year, booth 50031. Stop in, say hi. Love to meet everybody.
Excellent.
Cool.
Dave, thank you very much. We'll be in touch soon.
Thanks, buddy.
And,
Thanks, Dave. Sounds good.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
Thanks.
So long.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Mr. Dave Hayes from Hot Rod Innovations.
That sounds like some tool there.
It is, and I'm anxious to try that, because that's something, like I said, I want to do in my own car.
It's a real forehead slap. Damn, why didn't I think of that?
Right. I was lofty in the clouds. I thought I found the answer, but then I hit rock bottom.
Rock.
Here. Yeah. On 90.3 WHPC.
Rock.
every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No, why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll look for him. Maybe he got something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone can figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may not have heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead and tell everybody when to listen.
Okay, whatever. So if you're looking for some mind-blowing music, check out The Rare Groove Session. Now at a brand new time, late Friday nights or early Saturday mornings at 2 a.m., depending on how you look at it. Exclusively on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
The great Michael Schenker, UFO, kicking it.
Yeah.
These guys can lay it down, I'm telling you. Check this out, Joe. I mean, I don't know if you... This was the UFO's first album. And Michael Schenker really just knew how to do fills. Like, he had to, you know...
Yeah.
The riff is just like... So sweet.
It's good driving music, too.
I digress on Motor Mouth Radio. Yeah. We should go to the phones.
Let's go back to Motor Mouth and...
And go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. It's Dr. Jeff Rio.
Dr. Jeff.
What's up?
Nice to see you. A corporeal being. In
beautiful downtown Brooklyn doing sound for BBW yoga class, which is just absolutely thrilling. But anyway.
I'll bet.
I got a car question. I picked up a 05 Mazda 6. And the stupid check engine light came on, and my big dumb machine isn't connecting. I've even tried the CAN key, and it don't work.
Ooh. Because it is CAN, probably. What happens with the big dumb machine is that once you get past a certain point, it just doesn't go. It will leave you hanging when it comes to it, because that is a CAN vehicle, for sure.
Yes.
Did you just try regular generic OBD2?
Yeah, I tried Global, I tried it with the Asian cartridge and the Mastermind, and both of them are flipping me the bird.
No, it ain't going to happen. I've run into this before, especially the early CAN vehicles, you know, that I guess they put some of the software in, but not all of it. So you're pretty much going to have to go with, at this point, something more current.
Mm.
Yeah, it kind of bites. It's probably an EVAP code anyway.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is an EVAP. That's kind of what happens. We fought with that on my car, my Mazda 3. Joe and I got together on that one, and we ended up fixing it with some RTV, which is still in place and still working fine.
Yes.
Yeah, I did some of that epoxy on a pinhole in the wife's gas tank a few years ago. It's still working good.
Yeah.
Vacuum leaks suck.
Yeah, absolutely. And those EVAP leaks are small.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to screw up your air fuel ratio, that's for sure.
No, they're so tight. I think they run it so close on those cars. It's such a tight profile that a little bit just throws it right off. But it's time maybe for another scan tool there, Dr. Jeff.
Yeah, the
I was looking at a ScanLink X USB scanner with OBD Wiz software online for about $30, so I'm thinking I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, at least it's more current, you know, and they're not too bad. The newer things, you know, you think of the $25 pieces of crap, you know, that you get at some of the major retailers, and
I still heard those Zurichs that Harbor Freight is selling are getting some good reviews.
I have been thinking about one of those. I'm pretty sure it's a launch.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll let you know how this one works out.
Yeah, please, because you know scan tools change every week. You know, we used to say that back in the day.
Yes, very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I can get into the ABS. I can get into the airbag system. You know, with the BDM. Really? But everything else is just index.
Wow.
Hmm. Did any of the other modules mention anything about not being able to see the ECM?
No. As a matter of fact, I started up the engine in when I was in the ABS data stream, and I got the engine RPM. Okay, the brake switch is working, so.
Okay, which means it sees something coming out of there. Hmm.
Yeah. Well, it could be on another wire, too. The OBD port is just loaded with slots.
Exactly. Yeah. If you feel like coming to Queens and grabbing a scan tool, you're always welcome.
Well, I'm in Brooklyn. I'll be here till about 7 or 8 tonight.
Joel'll be sleeping by then.
I'll be out cold.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm not going to disturb you at home.
Much appreciated, because at that point I'm just totally unconscious.
Yeah.
And not really much good to anyone.
Well, keep us up on the progress on that, Dr. Jeff. Let us know what happens so we can get that information out to people, because that's something we've all come across, and we're all going to kind of come across it again.
Yeah, it's all over the Mazda 6 forum boards, too. People are having trouble getting scan tools to connect. People can't get their car smogged because the smog machines at the state facilities won't connect. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a big issue. Yeah.
Huh. Right. Okay, yeah, because usually that's just a straight up OBD connector issue, but that doesn't smell right. Yeah, definitely have to have a chat with this thing.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So let us know what happens with that. Keep
no
us
sweat.
Up to date. Thanks, Doc.
All right, you got it.
Great chat.
All right,
see you guys. Bye.
So long. Excellent. That was
Dr. Jeffrey.
You know, the EVAP stuff is just so common, you know. It's everywhere you turn, you know. So hopefully he'll get some closure on
my
that.
Eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 05, by now that...
Well, my car's an 06, and I had the problem.
Yeah. I don't think the big dumb machine worked on yours either, though.
I don't remember using that on
that's right. That's why I'm...
I don't think we did. I'm trying to remember. No, you know what? We were at the shop, and did I hook up the snow? I don't know if I remember. I don't think Mike had the Solus yet, and right. I don't think I used the Autel, so we must have used one of your scanners.
Yeah, it was the Autel. It was my Autel.
Right.
Yeah, which is a good all-purpose tool for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some strange stuff happen with those Mazdas in the past, but it should at least say something to you.
Yeah.
You know, so at this point, it's probably just an SST, stupid right. scanner trick.
That's a good one. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So what's going on the rest of the day with you? You got anything planned? Any fun?
EVAP leak.
All right, on the Toyota. Yeah, I did that Ford carburetor. Again, it was like a year to the day we had Dave on from Hot Rod Innovations, and it was also a year to the day that I did the Cobra Jet carburetor that came out of the UD.
That's right.
And now I found myself doing a carb for a 4100 for a T-Bird. Which is a lot like a Holley. I can see somebody was cohabitating.
At the same bar.
And I looked at it again this morning, because I always like to take another look after I make my final go-around. And I noticed that the secondaries, it's not a direct link mechanical operation. It's not vacuum. And there is a diaphragm on the back.
Right.
There's a foot that comes off the base plate, and from just like from a Holley, you adjust it under the bottom. You go underneath to turn a little screw.
You lock it in and lock it out, yeah.
So the way to make that actuate is there's another arm that comes off the choke, behind the choke plate, that would have to grab that and move it, but they're not touching. So the secondaries are never going to open on this thing, and I'm looking in my motors manual, I'm looking in other books, and I can't find a clear picture of how it's supposed to be. Because obviously somebody did something along the life of this carburetor.
Oh, yeah. At this point in the car's life, I'm sure that thing's been apart.
It has been.
And together 17 times.
You know, I had mentioned to the owner, who's calling me now, I'm on the air, I don't know what it is. I'd like to know, because I've seen this happen many, many times, what the hell kind of tools mechanics had back in the day? Because this carburetor has all straight slot screws holding the top plate down.
Right.
And straight slot screws all over the place. You know, now you'll find
torque. I guess the arrowheads would work pretty well.
But they're all, the majority of them are all like, you know, like when the straight slot screw gets like bent over, the screw is marred. Yeah. What the hell were they using for tools back then? I don't know, like pieces of wood, you know, steel.
Well, a lot of times, you know, people, you know, a good screwdriver of any kind is a thing of beauty, you know. But
oh yeah,
you know, the one that is used to open the paint cans and pry stuff open, you know, that tip is shot, you know.
I know, but still, I mean, you got to have if you're in a shop and you're rebuilding something, you got to have like a straight slot screwdriver is like, you know, a can opener in your house. I mean,
exactly,
you got to have one, right?
They usually get damaged though, because by rights, that's why you have the good screwdrivers, which use as implements of destruction.
Right.
And you have the ones that are used for actually turning screws.
Yes. And I see.
Let's turn that thing.
We got something turning here, so we'll go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, guys. It's Tom from Massapequa. Good afternoon.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I got to tell you, I enjoy your show. You guys get better every week. And the social media, I really enjoy what you guys post. It helps me a little bit.
Oh, not really? Bad. What does it help you do?
It just gets me more in tune with the... I'm not that mechanically oriented, but I like what you guys talk about, and my kids are into it. So it's just interesting, some of the stuff you show.
Oh, okay, well, we appreciate that. We try to keep it usually automotively based. We usually don't go into the food and the cooking. Well, sometimes we do. I've done that.
Yeah, every once in a while we actually eat, so, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, we try to keep it automotive and a little bit educational so people can see. And like you said, maybe just incite some thought, so... Okay, cool.
Oh, two quick questions. Well, one quick one and then an important one.
By all means, go ahead.
How is the gentleman that, what's his name, Andy, the guy that ran the AutoZium, how is he doing?
I had not seen Andy myself in about a month or so. Last time I saw him, he was doing well. Back in the shop in Queens, working, and, he's going to work until he drops. So.
Well, just send him my regards. I respect that man a lot.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. And my other question is, I have an 09 Maxima.
Right.
I have 75,000 miles on it. I want to keep it another 10 years. There you go. You hear that, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an 09 Maxima with 75,000 miles. I want to keep it another 10 years. How could I get it back to handling the way it did when it was new? What could I do?
Well, in the short, and we got to keep this short because we got to take a break. I'm going through that with my own Mazda that's an 06 with 95,000 miles. You basically got to change the suspension.
Yeah, when you mention handling, yeah, it's all the rubber, you know, the rubber components, the control arm bushings and so forth. They eventually, you know, time takes their toll. They dry out a little bit. They become compressed. They become worn. Fresh suspension components will definitely help some.
Yeah, the good thing is, like, what I'm doing to my own car now is I'm going to change. I needed a strut bearing, but I'm changing the whole strut, and I bought a quick strut, which is the strut, the upper bearing, and the coil spring. And that's what people don't understand. Like, as the car ages, those springs are aging, too.
Yeah,
we reuse them, but...
Like us, we get a little saggy.
Right. So, basically, the thing to do would be, like, new struts, new shocks, and or struts in the rear as well.
Mm-hmm.
And any of the rubber components that look compromised. And then, of course, tires, you know, should be
right
of the same quality of what the car had when it was new. And then those cars can ride like new.
They should.
They can. Oh, that's interesting. I would love it to, because it's such a solid vehicle.
Yeah,
and
right.
I've had a few Maximas, and I kind of love them. And I just like the tightness, though, of a new car, and I don't really have the money to buy a new one just for me. You know?
Right.
Of course,
You can put a few hundred into that one and get it in good shape, but have a competent place look at it and see, you know, evaluate what it might need.
Understood. And one of the other things I'm thinking of doing, I've had one or two of the wheels, like, re-bent, like,
straightened out. Yeah.
I'm thinking that when I get my next set of tires, maybe to buy replacement rims, too.
You know what?
New
rims. And you can look on Rock Auto, because I actually saw them for my own car. I actually did. I have steel wheels that I put in a car in the winter with dedicated snow tires, and I bought that, my last replacement rim, off of Rock Auto.
Yeah.
Rock Auto. Yeah. Let us know how you make out with that, Tom.
I will. Thank you, guys. I always appreciate what you guys do. Thank you.
Bye. All right. Bye. So long. Excellent. That was good old Tom. We're going to take our last break. You know, we've so far we haven't rocked the Casbah, but we've rocked the roll. We've rocked the babies. We've rocked the bottom. What do you say we rock the whole freaking nation this time, Joe?
All right. I know where this is headed.
On 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5 on Revelations, right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. You are listening to Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D, a.k.a. the Vultures of Automotive Culture, coming your way every Sunday, right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, from 12 noon to 1 p.m., These guys know their stuff. You got a problem with your car? Call in and the Motor Mouse will help you with the solution in a very informative and sometimes comical way. Every Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., you can also check them out at MotormouthRadio.com.
All across the nation.
Sammy Hagar before he was Sammy Hagar.
In Montrose.
Yeah.
Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. We're rocking everything we can get our hands on today because that's just the kind of guys we are.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. I think we're onto something, Joe.
Yeah, seriously.
You got me. It's pretty cool.
That just kind of hurt, though. But
yeah, I know.
It was more fun to say than it was to feel.
Well, whatever the hell.
But, yeah, so what are you doing this afternoon?
Well, what I'm doing, I actually have the gentleman whose carburetor I had rebuilt. He's going to come by and pick it up, that 4100.
Right.
So I'll pass that off to him, and then I may be doing a little looking at the Fiat. We'll see, because then I got to upload the show, and then my wife and I are actually going to go out to dinner. We got a coupon for a really good restaurant that we like to go to. And, you know, you sign up with, you give them your birthday and whatever, and they'll send you two coupons, and one of them is for
the birthday person.
Yeah, well, one of them is for, like, I forget if it's a, I don't know, the one for two. I don't know if it may be a percentage off, and then they give you another one for four people. If you buy three meals, you get the fourth one free.
Right.
So that one's got to be used next month. This one we only have till, you know, a couple days till tomorrow.
You have to eat like a lot and just like set up the chairs and make people think.
Right. Yeah, we took the kids last time. We had four of us. That's nice. But so I think that's the plan. We're going to go out tonight and enjoy some really good Italian food that we didn't make ourselves.
See, right there, that, you know, it's nice to be able to kick back a little bit and have to not be able to have to cook, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to go out once in a while and sit.
I'm going to see if I can get that Toyota on the track because, of course, the inspection sticker is up tomorrow.
Right.
And, you know, it's for my boy, so I got to do the right thing.
That was the story I told, you know, I had asked Mike, there's a guy down the road who does inspections, and I said, hey, you know what, I want to get my wife's car, and it's due by the end of the month. I was almost going to let it go to October. And he says, the guys down there, you know, they're flaky even when you have an appointment, they don't get you in. I said, yeah, I know, all right. So I spread the inspections around to different shops.
Right.
You know, so I said, you know, I used a guy in town for my car back in, like, May. I said, hey, you know what? All right, I'm going to go to him because it's a weird dynamic, but this is what happens, and it's exactly what happened on Friday. I had my daughter meet me there because she had the car, and I drove up as well, so I saw him and told him, I'll leave his name out of it. But I said, hey, I wonder if you can inspect my wife's car. Now, he's got a four-bay shop. It's two bays that are two deep.
Okay.
So he pulled one car out. There was nothing in the shop. And he's a local guy, so he gets kind of slow. So I said, hey, you know, I'd like to, you know, have you do my wife's car. And he knows what I do and how I do it. And he said, okay. He goes, well, you know, you're gonna be able to leave it, you know, because I got to do it tomorrow. I'm like, yes, I'll leave the car, do it for Saturday morning, no problem, even though it's a pain in the neck. But he says, you know, do you have a ride home? I'm like, yeah, my daughter's bringing the car now. Oh, here she is now. She's pulling in the driveway. And I have my car, so I got a ride. He goes, okay. So she parks it over by the side, and he says to me, you know what? After she gets out of the car, he goes, do me a favor. Bring the car over here in front of the office, which is right next to the first bay. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. All right, yeah, no problem. He wants to keep it close. Good. So I get in the car. He's standing outside the bay. And this happens almost all the time, Joe.
Right.
So I put the window down, because as I'm back doing my three-point turn, pulling up, I see him standing there, and he's giving me the wave to come forward.
Right.
And I have to go to the right. But now he calls me, like, over to his side. So, all right, so I come over. I'm like, okay, here we go. And he says to me, the car clean? You check it? The car's okay? You know, you give it the okay, you give it the check, you know? And I said, yeah, it's my wife's car, of course. I said, I've gone over everything. You know, brake size, everything is good. He says, all right, pull it in the shop. I'm like, yes. That's what, you know, but we got to do this dance.
Yes, you have to be vetted. You have to be thoroughly inspected and vetted and make sure that you're an undercover DMV agent.
Oh, I know. But of course, it goes in, then he runs it, and everything's fine. The car passes, get the sticker. And I told my wife, I said, this is why I can't call him and say, can I bring the car? He has to see me. He's got to, like, we got to go through this
Dance. Yeah, you picked the right word right there.
And when I was talking to John and Doug yesterday, they said the same thing. There's guys they use, and it's like the same thing.
Right, of course.
The steps may be different.
Absolutely. And some guys are like, yeah, come on, bring it here. We got an open. There's only five cars in front of you. It's okay. Just have a cup of coffee.
We'll and that's okay, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, you know, you get other guys that you pull up. The other guys in the shop are standing around drinking soda, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, you know, and can I get an inspection? You have an appointment?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I just realized my school was getting late.
Oh, well, now they got you. Now you're on the hook, right?
Well, we can't take care of this today.
You got pastries?
Yes.
I mean, back in the day, it used to be, you know, hey, the inspection, can you come in? Meet me in your office for a minute, because then there had to be some kind of exchange that went on with either. How do you say this so that it's radio correct? It could have been like a monetary or a some stuff in your pocket, maybe that you had.
A meaningful exchange must occur.
Yeah, there was of some kind of a substance that was meaningful to the person doing the inspection, and sometimes you'd be part of that too. They're like,
like there's some places like the Soup Nazi. You have an appointment? No, no sticker for you.
Oh yeah, well that's when you're a civilian, when you're off the street as a civilian, that's the game that you got to play. You know that you're just screwed. Yeah. So sometimes you can
banged
tell,
hard. Yeah.
Well, that's why sometimes you tell your wife, hey, you take the car, because you know he's not going to be so hard on a woman. You know, it'll be like,
right,
it'll be okay. But
yeah, especially because sometimes the women can be more challenging than the male customers.
So you know, we're talking about getting an inspection. Machine and license for the shop, and Mike was saying, he was explaining to Doug that in Nassau there was like a waiting list. There were like 40 shops.
Right.
I told Doug it's like a medallion. Shop has to leave or give up their license for a new one to
green
get
sign.
It.
Yeah.
So Doug said, I didn't know that. So yeah, that's the way they do it. So Mike said, yeah, last time he checked, it was down to like 20. So I said, okay, let me know when you get to 10. I said, and I'll apply for an inspector's license.
Sure.
You know, I'll get one too. What the hell? And we'll you know, this way. You get more people that can do the job, you know.
That's the thing. You gotta have qualified people.
Yeah,
you have to pass the test and the whole McGill.
Yeah. So we'll see, because we all go through it. I mean, and that's the problem with the more cars you have, it's more. You know, it's more. I from April, May, I have an inspection every month until now.
Seriously,
and now I get to skate through the winter. So you know,
lucky you.
I know, right?
Seriously.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're not going to skate out of here because Kim's coming in and we got to go.
So I see those red eyes.
We'll be back next week for more Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it.
On WHPC
90.3. Bye.